expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I said at the beginning, today marks the end of our Christmas season. And Christmas truly is a time of revelation. Of course, the first act of revelation was to Mary and Joseph at the birth of their son, who also was the Son of God. The second revelation occurred when some shepherds, prompted by a choir of angels, came and worshiped the newborn king. Another one, which we celebrated last weekend, is when the Magi came. People that weren't even believers of God, but came because they recognize something special in this child, a newborn king. And today marks the last of the revelations before Jesus' public ministry begins, the baptism of the Lord. In this, he is revealed as the Son of God, in whom his Father is well pleased. But it does beg a question, why did the Son of God need to be baptized? It's important to remind ourselves of what we believe as a church baptism actually does. It incorporates us into Christ's body, the church. It forgives us of sins, especially the punishment of original sin. It raises us to the dignity of adopted children of our Heavenly Father, makes us a new creation through water and the Holy Spirit, and offers us the gift of eternal life. From the early days of the church, the gift of baptism, as in all the sacraments can be considered gifts from God, but the gift of baptism was given to complete families who wanted to follow Jesus. And so not only the adults in the families, but also the children, including the infants, were baptized. There are some of our Christian brothers and sisters of other denominations that say that it is wrong to baptize children and infants. It has to be a choice that one makes. But we look at baptism as a true gift. I've already explained all of the benefits that one receives at baptism. Truly, baptism is the greatest gift parents can give their child because it opens the gates of heaven to their children. But whenever infants and children are baptized, the parents make a promise. They promise to take on the important responsibility of teaching their children in the faith, teaching them what a wonderful gift they have received, and then teaching them how best to respond to that gift by loving God and loving their neighbor. But why was Jesus baptized? Well, scholars have come up with a couple of reasons. The first is that Jesus sanctified water so that it could be an effective sign of the sacrament. In all of the sacraments of the church, we have signs. Of course, in the sacrament of baptism, the sign of the washing action of water, the cleansing action of water. But because Jesus sanctified the water, it doesn't just symbolize us being cleansed of sin, but it truly actually happens. Just as the bread and wine that will be brought up to this altar doesn't just symbolize Christ, but it truly does become the body and blood of our Savior. Now, the second reason is this. It provided a way for us, Jesus' disciples, to participate in Christ's death and burial so as to share in his new life in heaven. For many of us here in the church, we were probably baptized as infants, and probably what happened was we were held over the font and water was poured over our forehead three times, baptizing us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But back in Jesus' day, it was done by fully immersing the person, in the case of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. We all know that if one is kept under water for too long, they will suffocate and die. And so there is a symbolism that is recognized. With each time the person was submerged under the water, they died to their old way of life. They died to sin. They died to the punishment of death. They united their death with the death of their Savior. And by doing so, we also then could enjoy the promise of new life in heaven. And so, ultimately, the reason why the Son of God was baptized was for us. Was for us who truly, truly need the graces of baptism, who truly need the promise of eternal life. As I said at the very beginning, we are closing out our Christmas season, and we now begin the season that we refer to as ordinary time. Ordinary time is the time where we reflect on the teachings, the preaching, the miracles of Jesus, our Savior. We reflect on the time that he spent among the human family, reflecting on the time that he continued to form his disciples so that upon his ascension to heaven, they could take on the important task of building up the body of Christ, the church. So ordinary time becomes an important time for us as well. It's a time for us to reflect. How can we be better disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We think of what he has given us from the very moment that we were baptized, what he continues to give us each and every time we celebrate the Eucharist, the gift of himself, and what he gives us whenever we need true healing in the sacrament of reconciliation. We need to respond with love. We need to respond with mercy. We love our God by loving each other. In ordinary time, as we see and hear what Jesus says and what he does, it's a time for us to reflect on how we can respond to it. And so, my dear friends, today is a perfect time to begin that journey, to recommit ourselves to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I now invite all of us to stand and we will do so by renewing our baptismal vows.